But that is the Christmas story, or getting near the Christmas story. It wasn't my intention to speak on something dealing with around the Christmas theme until starting next Saturday when it comes to the program, and then Sunday when it comes to the program, and Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then next Saturday and Sunday once again too. But the title of tonight's message is Having the Right Focus During Christmas. Having the right focus during Christmas, because I know that's something that is happening in many of our lives. It's a strange thing that we set aside a time to celebrate Jesus' birth, and we use those times to further the gospel, but somehow it seems like we get lost with all the different activities and all the different things that happen. It is kind of crazy what some people's schedules look like. Even in our Christmas play, you're going to see on Saturday and Sunday, a couple of the characters talk about it's crazy, and that they're talking about going out to minister by Christmas caroling, and some are opposed to it because of the fact that, hey, it's a crazy time of year. Who has time to do that? And they were focused on buying gifts, focused on other things. But I think it's good to have a reset to just kind of take a look at some different things to see how our Christmas can truly be blessed. And I'm not talking about blessed in the idea that we're happy. Of course we should be happy at Christmas. We should be joyous because of what it represents. But a blessed Christmas in the idea that it's something that God can bless and that God can use. Because there's two different words, the way the word's used in the Bible. It talks about blessed is the man, talking about the happiness that comes in there. But then also there's other spots when it talks about blessed is the man that does this and blessed is the man that does that. It talks about the portion that God can bless and how God can work and how God can use. So I'm looking for this year, or this thought is, how to have a blessed Christmas. And I think the way we're going to do that is by having the right type of focus. Sometimes we lose focus on good things. Sometimes we lose focus on even ministry things. Sometimes our focus is not talked about doing things inwardly, but just getting things done. Let's mark another thing off the list. And that's kind of what my day's been looking like a little bit today. It started off nice and early, went from the Christmas banquet to early to children's church to Sunday school, Sunday morning, then the play practice, and then now here, and then also the teen afterglow afterwards at her house. All those things are great. All those things are important. All those things have a priority, and I think God can work and bless in all those things. But there's some things I need to make sure I prioritize in my life if I'm really, truly just serving and trying to be a blessing and being a way that God can bless, or I'm just doing activity after activity after activity after activity after activity, because that's what we're supposed to do. Because we want to be good family members, we want to be good church members, we want to be good at this and good at that. So I'm not saying we need to take certain things off our list. That may be true for some of our lives. I'm just saying there's some other things that we need to make sure that we're prioritizing before we, if we truly want the blessings of God this Christmas season. So if it's about Jesus' birth, who deserves the focus of this month? Who deserves the focus of all the different things we do? It's Jesus. In our life, the Bible talks about that in all things he might have preeminence, for it pleased the Father that he in him shall all fullness dwell. So here is probably five or six, maybe seven different things. I think that if we make it a priority, we're going to have a Christmas that God can bless and not just be super busy. Because I know we can go through and do a whole bunch of things as we've probably done year after year, and sometimes add some things and take some things away. And then afterwards, we turn around and we look at it and we say, did God bless what we did? And because that's what we're looking for. We're looking for the blessing of God. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have different church programs and activities. I know a number of you talked about how much you enjoyed the banquet last night. I'm really thankful for that. It's a good time, and there's a lot of positive things that come from that. We want to glorify the Lord. We want to fellowship and build our church unity and build the spirit of our church and all those different things like that. But if we're not trying to accomplish something for the glory of God, we should just go ahead and take it off the list. If we're not trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, it probably doesn't need to be on the list of things that we're going to do. Same thing with the Christmas program. It is not just something that people work at to entertain people. We want the blessing of God. And so how do we get our Christmas lives blessed? This is, we're going to get to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter number 2 here in just a minute. But there is one thing I wanted to make sure we set out at the beginning. It is a topical style message. We are not going to stay in one passage. I really enjoy staying in one passage and explaining it and preaching through just one set. But this will pretty much encompass chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Luke, looking at some familiar stories and looking at how we can make certain things priority so we can have the right focus. First thing, if we want God's blessing, if we want to have the right focus, is we need to be clean. Make cleanliness as a priority. Make cleanliness a priority. Now, I'm not talking about somebody smelling funny. That's not the cleanliness we're talking about. That is important, and that should be a priority. Hygiene is something that's key. But also, I'm talking about making sure our hearts are right, making sure that we do not have sin in our life, making sure that as we begin to enter into a season where we're going to see family, and we're going to reach out to people, and we're going to invite them to church, maybe get the chance to present the gospel and be part of church service after church service after church service, and all these different great blessings that we have, all these awesome opportunities to minister to someone for the cause of Jesus Christ, to talk to somebody about who Jesus is, before all those things happen, we need to make sure that we're right with them. In our own life, in our own heart. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. We don't need to worry about everything else in the world until we come to this spot. I want to have a Christmas season with the right focus and have the blessing of God. So how does that happen? We don't walk in our own integrity. We walk in what God says is right, what God says is true. And the Bible says in Psalms 139, it's a wonderful verse, verses that says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." As we talked about this morning, there was a couple of different groups of people Jesus was dealing with. He's calling a publican, a person that most people would say, I want nothing to do with, and he calls him into a ministry. They have a celebration that Jesus and the disciples attend, and he's there with what? Publicans and sinners. But then there's another group who would say, I know I'm right. I don't need to talk to the Lord. I know, and that group there isn't getting the blessing of God. There's a verse later on in the book of Mark, and we're going to get to it someday. It's also in the book of Matthew. I think it's in one of the other Gospels. It says you do err, something similar to this. It might not be the exact quote because it's written two different ways in different passages. You do err not knowing the Scriptures and the power thereof. So what does that mean? Because we do not know the Scriptures, because we do not know what God desires, because we do not have a good understanding and a working knowledge of what Jesus would want and expect, and that's why we're following after Him and trying to learn of Him, because of those things, we do also not know the power of God. There's a missing spot there. I don't experience the power of God, the blessing of God in my life, because I'm not understanding or knowing the Scriptures. This religious leader group had a head knowledge of the Scriptures and could quote probably more of the Scriptures than any of us could. But at the same time, they did not apply it to the Scriptures, did not apply it to the way that God desired it to be applied. They applied it to the way that they thought. So they never ever went to God and said, God, show me, teach me. Help me to become more like you. And that's why I want to encourage you before the onset, and I know most of the things have already happened. I know we've already experienced, it's already December, what's today, the 11th? I mean, in the first 11 days, there's been things from a Christmas parade to the school having a play and to a Christmas banquet, and already has been many people's times are tired and they're working hard towards it. So let's make sure we're clean. Let's just make sure we're right with the Lord. How are we ever going to minister to someone else if we and ourselves are not willing to understand what God desires for us and to seek the power of God in our life? Lord, I want you to bless this. And we don't want to just say that right before it happens. We want to be seeking the Lord throughout it the whole entire year. And that happens when we become clean. So here's a couple of things I think is going to help us with this cleanliness, help us with this right focus. And so not only make cleanliness a priority, let's make thinking of Him a priority. Let's make thinking of Him a priority. Look what it says in Luke chapter 1. Look what it says in verses 46 and 47. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47. At this point in time, Mary has already been told that she was going to be the one that the Lord God had chosen to bring His Son into the world. And what does she do? It says in verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Doesn't lift up herself. It magnifies the Lord. and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. She has the amazing opportunity that I believe that many Jewish girls had dreamed of doing, and has this opportunity to bring in the Messiah, to bring in the Savior. And what is she thinking about? Who is she thinking on? What is the priority there? She's thinking on Him. She's thinking of her God and her Savior. If you take your Bible to go to Luke chapter 2 and look at what it says in verse number 19. Another very familiar verse. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. So what does that mean? That means she took time to consider the Savior. She took time to consider what was going on. She has traveled to see Elizabeth here. She is getting ready to have a baby. She is facing many different things. I'm sure she's very busy. You go to chapter number 2, and it's like, bang, this happens, this happens. They go to Bethlehem. They have the child. The shepherds come. All those things. She's experiencing all these things. And what does she do? Does she get lost in all the different things that are going on? No, it takes time, and she ponders them in her heart. She takes time to apply these things and to be considerate and to be thinking of Him. If Christ is on our thoughts throughout this Christmas season, He will be able to bless. If our heart is clean and we're right and our hearts are focused on Him, you know what's going to happen? We're going to put Him first. Why is that? Because there is nothing else worthy of our praise, our honor, and our thoughts and our lives than Jesus Christ. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, when we think about that, we're like, man, I hate that verse because I don't like what I think about. But if we think about the right things and our hearts are focused on the right things, you know what that means? That's going to be a good verse for us. So as we think in our heart, so is he. Eat and drink, save he to them, but his heart is not with thee. So make that a priority. Spend time just considering who he is. Don't just listen to the Christmas carols. And I like Christmas carols. I think they're great. I enjoy singing them. Christmas caroling, going out and singing to other people. I mean, you can get busy and do all those things. Sometimes when we had teenagers, we used to try to hit like 25 houses in one night. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? I mean, it started at noon, it ended like at 9, and we had a whole list. And sometimes there's two groups, and we were going out here and we were going out there. And the joy of that was to be a blessing to some people and try to be an encouragement to them, but also say thank you for them. And somehow they made cookies during that time too, and they were an encouragement to a lot of different people over the years. But we should take time with those songs say, and we should consider what those songs say. As we lift up our Lord and Savior, it's not just sounding good and having a nice tune. We're teaching some of our children's church that's never heard some of those famous Christmas carols like Joy to the World and Oh, Come All Ye Faithful, but those words that are there, they mean something. I know they're not scripture, but many of them God laid upon their heart to write these hymns for us. And they have some wonderful stories, and they teach doctrine. It's amazing to listen to some people, even in a Walmart, that you know you can hear and listen to certain music that's garbage, that's anti-God, but then you bring out a Christmas carol during the Christmas season, and you hear them singing the praises of the Lord, and you're thinking, man, praise the Lord, they're hearing that. It's because they don't even realize the truth that they're being taught. Take time to consider Him. If we really, truly want to have the right Christmas, we need to make sure our hearts are right, and we need to take thinking of Him as a priority. But for me, when I think of Him, the next step is, we need to praise Him as a priority. Don't just think about Him. And it is a natural transaction, it is a natural transition, is more of a better word, that as we think about Him, what choice do we have but to praise Him, but to worship Him, but to say, God, You are worthy. That's why I encourage you in your prayer time to have a time of praising at the beginning, have a time of praising at the end, because as you enter into the presence of God, you're seeing a God who's awesome. A God that can do all things. A God that is able to, as we talked about in Sunday school today, never leave you nor forsake you. You can spend a whole day just thinking about, you can spend a whole life thinking about, God is with me. I was talking to somebody before church. I had made a couple comments about some things that didn't turn out the right way. But I said, you know what? But God's with us. He has promised us He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He was with Joseph. He was with Abraham. Over and over in the scriptures, it says that you can meditate on that and you can think about that, and that can make you joyful for the rest of the day. You say, Pastor, who thinks about things like that? People who want to have the right priorities. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If we lift up the Lord and Savior, the natural thing that's going to happen is there's going to be praise. Look what it says in Luke 2 and verse number 20. and the shepherds returning, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They took the time to go, they took the time to consider, and they came back and they were excited. So as we go from making sure we're clean and we think about him, I think it's a natural transition to go to, hey, I need to take time to praise the Lord. You can do it through song. You can praise the Lord with your life by putting him as a priority, worshiping him. And the next thing after that is we need to take priority in serving him also. Make serving a priority. And all of our Christmas serving, let us do all to him. And if we're going to serve our Lord and Savior, we must do things his way. Some people say, well, I did this for God and I did this for God. Have we ever taken time to say, Lord, what is it you desire for me to do? Because I know sometimes we make a long list of things that we think we know what everybody else wants us to do and what everybody else would have a priority, and this is what that person wants and this is what that person wants me to say. But how often do we take time to go to that individual and say, what is it I can do to be a blessing to you? Obviously, men and women are different. Men and women think differently. Men and women speak different languages when it comes to certain things. There is that book that talks about the five love languages and talks about the different languages that people feel love through, and how some people it's through physical touch, some people it's about respect. And once again, it's the book's not perfect, but at the same time, it helps you understand the opposite sex for those that are married, and the idea that, hey, just because when I do this, I feel loved, doesn't mean that when I do that for my wife, she feels loved. So what are you getting at? I'm telling you that sometimes we say, I'm doing this in the name of God, and this is what God wants me to do, but we do err because we don't know the scriptures or the power of God, because we do the things that we desire, and we think this is what God wants. When he wants us to take time to think on him first and to praise him, and then out of that praise of seeing who God is and seeing him lifted up, we begin to serve him the way he wants us to serve, because it's not about us, because we're seeing him high and lifted up. When we realize, as Isaiah did, Isaiah was sad because the king had passed away, but when he got a good image picture of God, what did he say? Lord, here am I, send me. And then he said, you know, Lord, how long? And God gave him this job that nobody else would have signed up for. He said, okay, I'll do it. Why is that? Because he saw who God was. It wasn't the job he would have picked. It wasn't the job that he would have said, hey, this is what it looks like to serve the Lord. It would come out of a heart of praise and adoration. And that's what the shepherds, they go and they glorify and they praise God. Make serving him a priority. Look what it says in Luke 1:38. It's speaking about Mary, and it talks about how she has brought forth this idea. And I don't think she ever thought it was going to happen this way. She obviously is virgin born. She doesn't understand. She hasn't been with a man. And because of that, she asks this question in verse 36. Actually, the question comes in verse number 34. He says, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel explains it in verses 35 and 36, and then makes this comment, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So he's reminded, he's God, he can do all things. Now, verse number 38 says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So as God lays things on our heart in a way to serve, or maybe with reactions and how we're going through things, and we're like, how in the world is this ever going to happen? How in the world am I going to ever make that happen? With God, all things are possible. And as the angel says that to Mary, it's something that we think, of course Mary should have surrendered. Of course Mary should have submitted. She's the handmaid of the Lord. That was her reaction. Lord, however you want me to serve, I'm okay with. So as we consider having this right priority and making sure as we go through all these times, I'm not telling you to take anything off your list. I'm just telling you to make sure first that you're right with him so he can bless it, and that you consider him and you think of him. And as you consider and think of him, you begin to praise him, and as you serve him, and then you make sure that you make him first in your time also as a priority. Make him first in your time. So what does that mean? For me, it's really easy to put things off. I know some of you have different work schedules and different days and how your time starts. My days start different times each day. On Saturdays, it starts at certain times. Sundays, it starts certain times. On Monday, praise the Lord, it starts a little bit later. And so that's a good day. So you get to sleep in a little bit sometimes. At least that's my Monday. Most of you guys, your work day starts on Monday. And guess what happens? You got to get up early. So it all depends on which day it is. But there should always be a priority that I'm going to put him first. It needs to be that. He should be first in my thoughts. He should be first in my praise. He should be first in my service. When the shepherds were told by the angels, what did they do? And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 16, if you want to look there, it says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." It was a priority in their life. They came with haste. And they didn't take time to hear from the angel, and they like, "Oh, that sounds nice. Maybe I'll go tomorrow. Or maybe I'll go a week from now. Maybe next month. It's probably not a good time. She just had the baby. Obviously, it's in the manger. I'll wait till they're in the house." No. They said with haste. It became a priority. They wanted to go see what the Lord had told them. And you say, well, that's different because it's an angel that's telling them that. And I'm telling you that this is the God of the Bible. This is his word. He wants to meet with you every day. It's not like there is a sky full of angels. I understand that. But each and every day, he desires to meet with you. And he wants to hear from you. He wants you to hear from him, but we're never going to happen if we do not make it a priority. And I know there's been times in my life when it's been a priority, and there's been other times in my life, I hate to say, that it's not as much of a priority. And I want to make sure when I don't have of a priority, it can slip through the whole day and think, you know what, I haven't had meaningful time alone with God yet. I got to stop that, and I got to start it. And if I really, truly want to have a Christmas with the right priorities and be blessed, and I think that's what we all want. We're here on a Sunday night during a busy month. We're all desiring that. So what does that look like? Get clean, because you're never going to hear from the Lord until we're clean. Think on him. As you think on him, praise him. As you praise him, serve him, and make sure he has that first priority. Next thing, think about this, is make communicating about him a priority. Make communicating about him a priority. Look what it says in verse number 17. It says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And you know, so when they saw the baby, when they saw Mary and Joseph there with the babe lying in the manger, what did they do? They made it a priority to tell others. You know, talking with others about the Lord. Not only just in a witnessing time, although that is something that is important. But I tell you, the encouragement we have as we have conversation with other Christians, we should marvel together about his grace. We should lift him up. And it means that God is here, God is with us, and we should praise the Lord for what he's done. I'm thankful for all the things he's done, and there's nothing wrong with communicating. We find it so easy to talk about certain hobbies, certain work interests, certain things when it comes to sports and other things that are going on in our lives because we're interested in one another. But the thing that brings us all together, it's Jesus Christ. That's connection. That's why we're here at Faith Baptist Church. Many of you, I know, may have some family members here, but what brings you here together is what we have in Jesus Christ and around it, at the doctrines that are there. God's brought us together. How come we don't communicate about him? How come we don't talk and consider him? So make communicating about him a priority. Praise the Lord by through witnessing, but also communicating with one another. And they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They didn't keep it to themselves. They knew something special had happened, and they went out and told people. And I think we know something special has happened in our lives when we become a believer, and we should want to go out and tell other people. And I know, like I said, the plan is for when I'm on Saturday night or Sunday morning or both during the presentation of the gospel at the end, it's the same thing. It starts from the beginning all the way back at the beginning. God stepped out and created the heaven and the earth. And then man fell. And as man fell, God promised a Savior. And that Savior came all the way here. And it was born with Mary. And then what happens then? He lives a perfect, sinless life. He dies on the cross, rises again. He spends 40 days with his followers. And what does he tell them to do? Go tell other people about me. But for some reason, we don't make that a priority. Why is that? It starts over here at the beginning, because if we're not clean, we're going to be focused on other things. We are. And if we're not clean, we're not going to think about him. Because if we think about him and if we praise him and we serve him and we put him as a priority in our life, it's going to be a natural transition that we would speak about him, that we would talk about him, that he would be on our hearts and on our thoughts. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where our heart is, there's our treasure also. And if he is our treasure, if he is the one that we love, he's the one that we're going to be looking forward to. So you think about it. If that child that may be new, I talk to Tracy, the Temples just had a little baby a few weeks ago, and Tracy showed me some pictures of Tristan just the other day. You can tell he's proud. He's a dad. The baby's only a few weeks old. You know, it's got his heart. And that's the same thing. Those things that have our heart, we have no problem talking about. And I want to encourage you today, make communicating a priority. Next thing, we're almost done. Make giving a priority. Make giving a priority. He is worthy of our best and the most. He is worthy of our best and the most. You can turn your Bible if you like to, but if not, you can just listen to Matthew 2:11. It speaks about the wise men. And it says in Matthew 2:11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary. And I know what everybody thinks about at Christmas time. Those manger scenes are wrong. That he came later on. It was a young child. It was a house. It wasn't. I understand all that. But don't miss what they do. And fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They gave, and they gave of their best. They followed a star, possibly for over a year and a half, looking for a Messiah, and they show up at a shack. And guess because it did not look the way they thought it should look, they realized that Jesus was there and he was worthy of their worship. And sometimes as we're following the Lord, circumstances do not always end up looking the way we thought it would, but he's still worthy of our worship, no matter what it looks like, no matter where we're at. How does that ever happen? Is when we learn that our giving is not based off of the church, the preacher, our circumstances. Our giving is based off of him and what he's done and what he is worthy of. And I want to encourage you tonight. It's a natural transition in my mind. If our heart is right, once again, I know that's not particularly found in Luke chapter 1 and 2. I think God chose different individuals like a Zacharias and Elizabeth and a Mary and a Joseph because their hearts were right. They found lives that they could bless, highly favored among women, all those different things. But it's a natural transition. If I'm clean and I'm thinking about the Lord, if I consider him, you know what? There's no other natural choice but to praise him and to worship him. And as I worship him, true worship means I'm going to serve him. And as I'm truly serving him, that means I'm going to put him first. And as I put him first, he's on my heart. He's on my mind. I'm communicating with him. And as I'm communicating with him, you know what? I'm going to be willing to give whatever he asks. And this is not a message on money, because God desires your heart. Because if he has your heart, you know what he's going to have? He's going to have your wallet too. And that we got to remember that, our priorities. So what does that look like in life today? How do we make this application? Last but not least, mending our relationships should be a priority. Because I know at Christmas time, there's times when we see people we have not seen very long or very often. And we sometimes pray for certain individuals for a long period of time, and we only get to see them for a short period of time. So I truly believe if we are going to be clean and think on him and praise him and worship him and serve him and make him a priority, and that we will give ourselves, that we're going to put ourselves in an opportunity where we can be an encouragement and blessing with these relationships that sometimes we struggle with. Because if all those other things are right and the other person, all those other things are right, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have sweet fellowship over here. Unfortunately, if one person has all those things right and the other person doesn't, the fellowship isn't always going to be sweet. But the thing you're praying for says that, God, I want you to use me in that individual's life to try to make a difference and a help. And sometimes we may fast, and sometimes we may pray that God would bring other people into their lives to help make a difference, and I think that's great. I was hearing a story the other day, and there's a certain individual that a lady in her church had been praying for years and years. And I prayed for this individual with a lady, and then found somebody who knew that works with this individual. It's another city, hours away. And I know the individual, and I talked to him. I says, hey, I know somebody who works in that area. I wonder if they know them. And that person says, I've been witnessing to that person for a while. I'm trying to get him to come to church. And it's amazing how God, and I know that what that lady has prayed for, that lady has prayed that God would send somebody in their way because of the fact that that person has shut them off. And it was an answer to prayer. And I'm looking forward to mentioning to that lady, hey, you know what? God is working it out, and maybe God will use that individual to bring them to the Lord, to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We can work on mending our relationships. Jesus came to restore the brokenness that was caused by sin. Where there are broken places in our relationship amongst our families, amongst our church families, we need to pray that God will use us to be an agent of His grace to help those that are needy in their heart. Go ahead and look in Luke chapter 2. Look what it says in verses 30 through 32. This is Simeon. I know you, if you've been around here for the last 15 years, you know I like the character of Simeon. And look what he says. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Look at the desire there, a light to lighten the Gentiles. I think that's what we're supposed to be, a light to help shine light of reflection of Jesus Christ to those that are struggling. And yes, it's talking about Gentiles there. It's talking about those that are outside the Jewish, more in a spiritual sense, those that are outside the family. But I tell you, there's a lot of people inside even the church family that needs to see the light of Christ in our lives. An agent of grace to minister so that way we can go and we don't have to be thinking. Because if our relationships are wrong, you know what's going to happen? You know what we're going to be thinking about? We're not going to be thinking about Him. We're going to be thinking about our relationships. And that's a tough thing. Sometimes when you deal with somebody and you have people that are against you or people that are that you don't have a very good relationship with, your focus becomes about them. Where our focus really needs to be, if we're going to have a blessed Christmas, it can't be just focused on them. Instead, it needs to be casting it on Him. And as we cast it on Him, we make sure we're clean. We think on those things. And as we think on those things, like I said, it's a natural transition of praise to service, to making Him a priority as being first, communicating about Him, giving whatever He wants or asks, and that even includes that relationship that we struggle with. Yes, that's how we can make Christmas blessed this year. Not just joy, but a blessed Christmas, and the idea that is something I hope that God grace and mercy is evident in your life during this Christmas season. How does that happen? When we make the right things a priority. God's given us promises. When your church and your Christmas activities, whether they're ministry or personal or focus on giving Christ the preeminence, it's going to be a blessed month. When it's not, you're going to have a good times at times. But other times you're going to become overwhelmed and frustrated and you're going to yell at the kids. I'd like to ask how many kids their parents yell at them, but I don't want to do that in front of everybody. But the reality is that if we aren't right and we're not thinking about Him, we can become so overwhelmed. We're not blessed. We're stressed. What does that phrase that says too blessed to be stressed? I heard Johnny Pope say that a couple of times. I don't know if he originated it. He said, I'm too blessed to be stressed. We're not blessed if we're not thinking of Him because we forget how blessed we are. And sometimes I think during our Christmas season, we don't have that right focus and we're not seeking the blessing of God. We're just seeking to just get done first and get through. here comes December 26th or January 2nd, whatever the day that we can breathe and relax. No, it's not supposed to be like that. It's a busy time, but wonderful opportunities to minister for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't miss that opportunity. Make sure we're clean. Make sure that we think on Him. Remember, let's make sure as we think on Him, we praise Him. It's a natural transition. If you really take time to put it in your heart, all you can do is overflow and to say, thank you, Lord, and worship Him and praise Him by serving Him, by putting Him first, by being willing to communicate with others, and by giving of yourself. And what does that look like on paper? How's your relationships? Because if our relationships, if we're wrong in our relationships, now not every relationship's going to be right. Because the Bible talks, if possible, live peacefully with all men. And sometimes the relationship is strained because of the other individual, but just make sure of all those different things that I want to be a blessing to that individual. My desire is not harm to them or hurt to them. My desire is that they would be right and I would be right. And that's what it looks like. And those relationships there is starts with our relationship with the Lord. So let's make sure we're careful, first and foremost, to have that right priority. And when we see those people we might not see any other time of the year, don't sit back and just shake your head and say, boy, I wish they lived for God. I wish somebody would tell them about God. I wish, and that's what we do sometimes, because we're like, oh, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they brought that up. All those things, and we shake our heads without truly praying and seeking God and saying, God, help me to be a light, to lighten the eyes of those, help them to see Christ in my life tonight. Let's ask God to help us have the right priority during this Christmas season. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the story. And I know it's topical, and you just see these different Bible characters, how Mary was willing to submit and said, whatever you want, Lord, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Lord, we see the Bible characters like Simeon talking about the relationships that when Christ came could be mended, that the eyes that could be lightened of the Gentiles. We see the worship and the giving of the wise men. We see the response of the shepherds, putting Christ first, leaving their sheep behind, going out and publicizing. We can see that everything in this Christmas story has the center of it around Jesus. And Lord, even though in our words we say Jesus is the center, but Lord, with our actions, with the most innermost part of our being, our heart, help us to be considering and thinking and praising you. Lord, out of that, let's respond by serving. Not the way that we think is right and best, like those religious leaders did, but seeking you, understanding you, wanting to learn of you, being willing to help be a light to those that many times are difficult to deal with. And God, that we would be willing to give, Lord, not finances as much as ourselves, our hearts. Lord, this year, help us have these right priorities. Help us in a crazy, busy month. Remember that you're with us. We don't have to be afraid. You've given us a job to do, but you've also said, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to empower you. And that, Lord, you would bless our time here as a church and as a church family. But as we go out into our own families, I'm sure all of us, or at least not most of us, have someone we pray for in our family, maybe even pray every day our heart's been burdened about, that, Lord, we would live a blessed life that would just boil over to those that are around us and that they would see their need of a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.